The Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study. And number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever. We're instructed in Romans 3:4, let God be true, but every man a liar. We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study his word in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher, Pastor Thomas Bruchet.
Does God want you converted? That's something I'd like you to think about in this next half hour. Something that you need to realize that there might be a possibility that God does not want you converted. Perhaps you're sitting there thinking, well, I don't want to be converted. And by that you're saying, well, you're probably some Protestant talking to me, and I'm a Catholic, and you want to convert me to Protestantism. Well, that's not what I'm here to do. You can call me a Protestant if you like, but you know, I'll be talking to a lot of Protestants that I'd like to convert right now. And it's not converting from one religion to another. Jewish people are always afraid that someone of a Christian faith is going to try to convert them from Judaism to Christianity. And then, of course, there's the Islamic faith, and we're out there going to convert them from Islamic faith to Christianity. And Christianity might be a good enough term, though. But when I talk about being converted, I'm talking about being converted to the Lord. And there's a person that God would have us to know and acknowledge in our life, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there is a sense in which I would like you to be converted to Christ, and if you want to call that Christianity, the Bible does call it that. But the question of whether God wants you converted or not is an interesting question. There's a passage here in Isaiah chapter 6 where the prophet Isaiah is raised up to go to the nation of Israel and to preach unto them. And God appears to him and first revealed himself, and Isaiah says, I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, now here's the Lord. Isaiah just volunteered to go and speak to the nation of Israel for the Lord. And now the Lord's going to tell him what to say. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed and understand not. And see ye indeed and perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat. Make their ears dull of hearing. And their eyes, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitants, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsakening in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as the oak, whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. The prophet Isaiah volunteers to go and be a prophet of God to the nation of Israel, and God says, now here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to go and tell the people that they're going to hear, but not perceive. They're going to see and not see. He says to go ahead and make the heart of this people fat. You know, when you hear something, there's decisions that have to be made every time you hear something. And decisions are made, according to the Bible, not just from a mental assent, but from the heart. They become convictions, and that's where the heart is involved in decision making. You decide whether something is something worth standing for, something worth believing in, something worth committing your faith in, something worth that you're going to decide to believe, or you decide to throw it off and not hear it. Well, if you hear something over and over again, and the heart just gets fat, it's just full of decisions to be made without ever making them. Your heart is just getting fat. He says, go make their ears heavy. That is, just keep saying the words in their ear, saying it over and saying it over and over again until their ear is just heavy with information. And with that heavy ear and with that fat heart, it says, and shut their eyes. Make them where they just can't hear it any longer. Did you ever sit through a long, boring sermon? Or listen to someone who had to give a speech and it was some boring subject and he went for a long time and you sat there and you watched and you can't keep your eyes open anymore. You've just taken in all that you can take in and you can't take in anymore. Well, that's what he's saying. Go talk to them and don't stop talking when they get tired. Make their eyes heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts. And then notice the last part of that verse, and convert and be healed. You know, the nation of Israel got to such a point in the Old Testament that God said to the prophet Isaiah, go speak to them, but tell them they're not going to understand what you're saying. And keep saying it over and over again until they won't even want to hear it anymore. They just can't stand to listen to it anymore, so that they won't be converted. God didn't want the nation converted anymore. That nation had had God, the promises of God, for several years. God has dealt in His mercy with them over and over again, giving them renewed opportunities to hear Him and do what's right. And the nation of Israel would just flirt with God a little bit, do a little bit of what God said, and then totally turn away and go further and further and further away from God until we come to this point in the prophet Isaiah, who his ministry is not to convert the nation, as many people think, but his ministry is to go and condemn the nation by preaching to them. And when Isaiah understood what God was saying, he asked the question, then said I, how long? And then the Lord answered his question, till the cities be wasted without inhabitants, and houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. Till God judge that city and that nation until there was no one left in the land, no man left in the house because he's been out in war, and so that he's totally, until they're totally blinded and turned away from God and judged by God. And so the prophet Isaiah had a ministry of condemnation because at this time God did not want those people converted. You know, God says something later on in the book of Isaiah, which is very interesting. You know, if people don't hear and won't hear, and yet God's got some things to say to these people, when then will God be able to get the nation of Israel to finally listen to Him? Well, in Isaiah 28, it says this. It says, whom shall He teach knowledge, and whom shall He make to know to understand doctrine? And the answer here is them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips of other tongues will I speak unto this people. And what this is talking about is God is going to speak to this people through the Assyrians. He's going to judge them by Assyria coming into the north, later by Babylon coming into the south, and judging the nation of Israel like they did back in 700 B.C., And God is going to speak to them in judgment through other people that's going to come and take over their land. But the question is, if Israel won't hear, who will finally hear? And God said He'll teach knowledge to those that are weaned from the breast, to infants. As if God is going to judge the nation of Israel and start over with a new generation of Israel that will just be from a young age, will build precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, but they're getting it. Till they're finally, instead of full of information and with no decisions about what God said, till a point that everything's wiped away and they're fed little by little again until their heart can take it and come back to God. So God, back in the Old Testament, did that to the nation of Israel, and He started over with a new, younger generation. But you know, that's interesting because that happened again. The generation came back after God had judged them. And then we came to the book of Malachi, where the generation that came back and was restored, began to get a little tired of the same old routine of worshiping God, the same way of approaching God. And when you read the book of Malachi, God is arguing with the nation of Israel about their behavior and their heart toward Him. But then there's 400 years between Malachi and Matthew where there's nothing but no history recorded in the Bible. There's history recorded in other books of some judgments Israel went to. But when you come to the New Testament of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ shows up. And the Lord Jesus Christ begins His ministry. First John the Baptist began his ministry. And then the Lord began His ministry. And He says something interesting in Matthew chapter 13. He speaks a parable about a sower going out to sow seed. And some of the seed falls upon stony ground. Some falls among thorns. Some fall upon weeds and are choked out. And this parable is about the Word of God going out and touching different kind of hearts. And some are stony and don't let the seed grow. Some are choked out because it had cares about other things. Some fell on the wayside and it's not in any dirt that it can grow and get strong. And then some fell on good soil and it sprung up. But when he's talking this parable, the disciples came to him in Matthew 13 and verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" Now most people think that Jesus Christ spoke in parables so that people could understand what he was talking about, so that he would make an illustration. But that's not so. He spoke to them in parables. He answered, verse 11, and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. For whosoever hath..." Well, the last thing he said to them when he finished the parables, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." That is, he that has an ear that's willing to hear the things that God has said and make some decisions in their heart, let that person hear. But those who don't have an ear, it says, "Whosoever hath, it shall be given unto him, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, the ear to hear, the heart to believe and understand, it says, from him it shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore I speak unto them in parables, because they seeing see not. And hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah." And here he quotes Isaiah chapter 6. "By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people's heart is waxed gross," it's callous. "Their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." And then he goes on to explain the parables to them. But the Lord said that the reason he was talking in parables, and the disciples, "Why are you talking this way?" It's because it's not for those people to know. He's speaking to them in such a way that they won't understand, and the reason why is the heart of this people is waxed callous. It's heavy, it's fat, it's full, and they won't do anything with anything they're hearing. They just make a decision to make no decision about the things that he's saying to them, the promises that he came to fulfill in the Old Testament. But you know, when you read this section of the book of Matthew, you realize that already in Matthew chapter 13, the rejection of the Lord has already taken place. Back in chapters 8 and 9, he did 10 miracles to demonstrate who he was and the blessings he could give to the nation of Israel. But when he got all done in chapter 9, they said he did that by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Then in chapter 10, he sends out the 12 apostles to go out into every city and preach. And they went into those cities and they came back and preached. And then Jesus Christ scolds the cities for their unbelief. In chapters 11 and 12, he talks to the nation of Israel and warns them about their attitude toward him. And that he tells them all manner of sin and blasphemy against the Son will be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. He warns them in chapter 11 that in light of their rejection of him, that will be forgiven them. Not only that rejection, but whatever they're going to do to him will be forgiven them, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven them. And from this point on in the book of Matthew, from chapter 13 on, Jesus Christ trains 12 apostles to carry on his ministry because what he's going to do, what Israel's going to do to him is crucify him. But he said, that will be forgiven them. When he died on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And when you come in your Bible to the book of Acts, what you have is a new, fresh opportunity given to the nation of Israel to again receive the promises of God, their blessings that God promised them in the Old Testament, the kingdom that God promised them, a renewed opportunity for them to get it. But now it's being ministered by the 12 apostles through the Holy Spirit that's been given unto them. And so the 12 apostles go out in the early part of the book of Acts and they go preaching. And they're in Jerusalem, and there's a big division among the nation of Israel between those who believe and those who don't believe. A great number believed, but also a great number didn't believe. And there's a time in Acts chapter 7 that the Holy Spirit, through Stephen, speaks to the nation of Israel and says, "As your fathers did, so do ye. Ye always resist the Holy Ghost." So Israel, after hearing from God the Father in the Old Testament, and then God the Son when Jesus Christ was here on earth, and now hearing the ministry of the Holy Spirit through the 12 apostles, did what they always did, they resist. And then it came time for God to judge them. But you know, instead of judging them like Isaiah said, the land being wasted, the men being killed, them being driven off the land, what happened is no wrath came. In Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is saved, and something unusual takes place in your Bible that you need to note. And what takes place is God saves the Apostle Paul, and from the beginning, in chapter 9, the purpose that he saved the Apostle Paul is to send him to Gentiles. God is going to turn from the nation of Israel and turn to Gentiles and give Gentiles an opportunity to hear the gospel, an opportunity to receive in their heart the salvation that God is going to offer them, an opportunity to believe after they've heard the truth of their salvation, and then to be saved. But you know, what if the Gentiles become like the nation of Israel, who have ears but decide not to hear, who have eyes but decide not to see, who have a heart that can understand but make a decision not to make a decision in their heart? Well, let's just first see something here. The Apostle Paul goes out, and he begins by first addressing the nation of Israel out among the Gentiles, and he's preaching to Israel and Gentiles at the same time. And in Acts chapter 13, he says something because the nation of Israel is jealous that he'll even talk to a Gentile. And so in their jealousy, they begin to oppose the things that he's saying and blaspheme the Apostle Paul. But he says to them this in Acts 13:46. "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, 'It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken unto you. But seeing ye judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles, for so the Lord hath commanded us.'" The Jews must have been shocked. What do you mean? God's going to turn from us and turn to Gentiles? He says, "I have sent," speaking of what God said to him, "I have sent thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. As many as were ordained, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. God, the Apostle Paul said, "God told me that I had to speak to you Jews first. And when you're tired of hearing it and you don't want it, I'm to turn to the Gentiles and offer it to them." Gentiles throw up their hands for joy, and many people believe that day. All that would believe the message of eternal life were saved that day. Now, the Apostle Paul said that one time, that's the first time he said it in the book of Acts. We come over to chapter 18, and he's now in the city of Corinth. And he's speaking to both Jew and Gentile. The Jews can't make a decision. They're just kind of going back and forth. It says, "And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he," the Apostle Paul, "shook his raiment and said unto them, 'Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I go unto the Gentiles.' And he departed thence and entered in a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue." Paul went into a synagogue, preached to the Jews. They're listening, they're debating, and finally they oppose themselves. Nah, we don't want to make a decision right now. So he says, and then they spoke against what he's saying. He shakes his raiment. He says, "I'm free from your blood. Your blood's on your own heads." And he turns to the Gentiles again. And you can see here, just like in Isaiah's day, their ears are dull of hearing. The book of Acts ends with Acts chapter 28, in verse 25, where the Apostle Paul calls the Jews now as far out in the world as Rome. He calls the Jewish people together because they had heard of what he had been preaching, and they decided they wanted to hear it. And it says, and when they had appointed him a day, in Acts 28, verse 23, when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, and out of the law and out of the prophets from morning till evening. And some believed the things that were spoken, and some believed not. So there's division again in Israel. Should we believe this? I don't know. I say yes, I say no. They're divided among themselves whether to believe the message or not. And that message is about Jesus Christ. And Paul spoke to them out of the law and the prophets from morning till evening. Now to me that sounds like the prophet Isaiah. Go and speak to this people and keeps telling them they're not going to hear, they're not going to understand, make their heart heavy, and just close their eyes. And so he just preached to them all day long. And it says, and when they agreed not among themselves, they can't come to a decision, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. That is, Paul said one thing to them that's particularly caused them to walk away from him. Now, they can't agree. Some's believing and some's not, but there's not an agreement among themselves. But when Paul said this one statement, all of them just turned around and walked away from the Apostle Paul. And look what he said to them. He says, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto your father, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive, for the heart of this people is waxed gross. It's callous. They're not sensitive to the things of God. And their ears are dull of hearing. That you just hear, they hear it, but they're not perceiving, they're not understanding. It just hit in a deaf ear. Their eyes have they closed. God didn't close the eyes. God offered it, but they decided, oh, I'm just tired, I'm bored, I don't want to hear this anymore. They shut their eyes. Their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. Now they're being converted. They decided that I've closed my eyes and I'm not going to hear so that I will not be converted. And that's exactly when God would send them out to preach, it's so that they won't be converted. So that they'll make up their mind not to hear, not to see, not to understand, not to make a decision. But in that process, it says this. And it says, and I should heal them. That they decide not to be converted so, and he will not heal them. Verse 28, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles and they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. Nowhere did a Jew ever believe from his Old Testament scripture that God would ever give up on the nation of Israel, that God would turn himself away from the nation of Israel, and lastly, would God ever turn away from the nation of Israel to turn toward the Gentiles. But the Apostle Paul, after they turned down the message of the preaching of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, the Apostle Paul was then sent out to go to the Gentiles. But as he did, he stopped to the Jew first, and he preached to the Jew. And when they made a decision not to make a decision, when they made a decision not to believe, then God told Paul, now you turn to the Gentiles. And when the Gentiles first heard that, they rejoiced. When Paul was then turned to the Gentiles at Corinth, they heard the message. Paul now is in Rome, and he says be it known unto you that the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. The Gentiles were dying for a message of salvation, a word from God, an opportunity to be saved. And God, in the latter part of the book of Acts, turned from Israel and turned to the Gentiles. And in your Bible, the next books of your Bible is Romans to Philemon, in which is the age of grace, an opportunity of Gentile salvation. But you know, God made some promises to the nation of Israel that he's going to judge them and then convert the remnant and bring all their blessings to them. And so it is true when you read the book of Romans that God will one day turn back to the Gentiles, away from the Gentiles to the nation of Israel so that they might be saved. It says in verse 21 of Romans chapter 11, for if God spared not the natural branches, Paul says to the Roman people, take heed lest he spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them that fell, the nation of Israel. But toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted in contrary to nature into the good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted in to their own olive tree? So Paul says, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Now I say all that information to you so that you would realize that 2,000 years ago, 1,900 years ago, God turned from the nation of Israel and turned to Gentiles to offer us Jesus Christ for salvation. You know, it's been about 1,900 years that the Gentiles have had this wonderful opportunity to hear. And you know, when I go around our own country, and I'm sure missionaries find it wherever they go, that when you start talking about Jesus Christ anymore, people go, oh, I don't want to hear that. I'm tired of hearing. I've been hearing about Jesus Christ. People have been trying to tell me about being saved. They're always trying to convert me. I don't want to be converted. And you know what? If you are hanging on to a religion, if you are hanging on a tradition, if you are hanging on to your own good works and you think that before a holy God you're going to be accepted before Him, you better think again. You do indeed need to be converted. Does God want you to be converted? Yes, today's the day of salvation. But there's coming a day in which the Gentiles who do not any longer want to hear the message of their salvation, there's going to be a time God will not want us converted. And He'll cut away our day of salvation and return to the nation of Israel and give her all her blessings, because He'll convert the nation of Israel through a judgment of the tribulation. And you read that in your Bible in the books of Hebrews through Revelation. So God wants you converted. He doesn't want you converted to my religion. He don't want you converted to a certain denomination. He wants you converted to Christ. He wants you to realize you need salvation. He wants you to realize you're a sinner, and Christ is the one who died on the cross to pay for all sins. And that today, if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved.
Thank you for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we hope this program has been enlightening to you. Our desire is to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 810-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 810-778-5032. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this same time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe.